A couple of weeks ago, Kevin and Julia Garrett spoke in our online worship service. They're Canadians, they're from Metro Vancouver, and they had spent about 30 years in China teaching English, partnering with an orphanage, engaged in relief work, and then they were accused of being spies, and they were both thrown into separate prison cells there in China. Julia spent 6 months in prison and then more than a year in house arrest. Kevin spent more than 2 years in prison. Kevin and I had coffee back in February when coffee shops were still open, when coronavirus wasn't at play. And during our conversation, Kevin told me that he wouldn't wish what he had experienced in prison in China on his worst enemy. He told me how difficult it was and how at times he despaired. But then Kevin said, "But as I look back, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything in the world. Jesus Christ was with me in prison. I sensed his joy. And I experienced a contentment that I never imagined would be possible in prison." He said, "That experience transformed my life." Today, we're beginning a new series in the book of Philippians in the Bible. And the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was chained to a guard in a Roman prison. He ends up spending 4 or 5 years there waiting to stand trial before Caesar. And he doesn't know whether he's going to live or die. And we know that there are times in Paul's life based on other scriptures where he does feel real despair. But while he is in prison, he's not going crazy. He's not a nervous wreck. He actually experiences the joy of Christ's presence. And in prison, he writes this epistle that uses the word joy or rejoice 16 times. In fact, the letter to the Philippians, to us, pulsates with joy. In Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11, the Apostle Paul writes these words that are now part of Scripture. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion to the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And so may God speak to us through this, his word, that was actually written in prison. As I said, while Paul is imprisoned, he's waiting to stand trial before Caesar. He does not know what his future holds. He doesn't know whether he will live or die. And yet the Apostle Paul writes later in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." And in this message and in this series, we want to explore how when we are with Christ, we can experience joy in whatever our circumstances. As I've said, Paul's future was unsure. He did not know what tomorrow held. And many of us during COVID-19 are unsure about our future. If we're a student, we don't know how our schooling is going to unfold in these months. If we've lost our job, we are uncertain whether we will be able to get another job. Or if we have a job, perhaps we feel uncertain about whether we can keep our job. And uncertainty fuels anxiety. Many of us are also experiencing COVID-19 fatigue. When we're on a Zoom call, our brains have to work extra hard to read people's body language and nonverbal cues in a way that they don't when we're with a person live, because our brains just sort of pick that up. And we're not getting the same lift and oxytocin release that we get when we meet with someone in person. And so a lot of us are feeling more tired, more fatigued, and more irritable. And in these challenging times, with the Apostle Paul, we can truly experience the joy of the Lord as our strength. Some people feel that joy is a bit like catching the flu or the coronavirus. We either have it or we don't. But according to the scriptures, joy is actually a choice. Now, I want to say this. If you are experiencing an unusually low or an unusually long low, it may be that you are experiencing depression. And if that's the case, I would encourage you to contact one of us pastors by email, perhaps to begin with, or see a counselor. If you are experiencing depression, it's harder to access joy. Not impossible, but it's harder. And so I would encourage you to seek out the support that you need in this time. But the scriptures do tell us that joy is a choice. Now, I tend to use the word happiness and joy interchangeably, like a lot of you. But if we think about the root words of happy and happenstance, they're one and the same. And for a lot of people, their happiness is dependent on their happenstances, on what's happening in their lives, and so it can be up and down. But joy, as we'll see in this message and in this sermon series, is something that we choose as we pay attention to something, or more precisely, to someone. And this is why the Apostle Paul says, again, later in the book of Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul was a Hebrew person. He was Jewish. And so he had many occasions across the year to participate in festivals where he would engage in celebration with his people. So, for example, he would participate in something called the Feast of Tabernacles, where he and his fellow Jewish people would live for several days in tents or makeshift shelters as a reminder that 1,300 years before, God had delivered their people out of Egypt where they had been slaves, led them through the wilderness where they had lived in tents in these makeshift homes, and then brought them to the Promised Land. And during this festival, during this feast, they would also remind themselves that God would one day deliver the world, set the world right in the future. And scholars tell us that in the Apostle Paul's first century world, if you were Jewish, about a third of the days would be feast days. And so they had lots of occasions to celebrate over good food and sweet drinks. And the Apostle Paul is saying, choose joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And as we look back at what God has done, and as we look ahead as to how God will work in the future, even in the most challenging of circumstances, we too can experience joy. Back in mid-March, our family was slated to go to Hawaii. We had enough points to stay at one of our favorite vacation spots. But at the last minute, because of COVID-19, we made the decision to stay here in Vancouver. That was the right decision, but it was also disappointing for us. I remember during a previous trip to Hawaii, I was out walking on the beach under the stars, and I was recounting how God had provided for me across my lifetime from birth up until now. I was recollecting all the gifts. And my heart just exploded with gratitude and joy. It was just amazing, incredible. Well, a few weeks ago, I was walking through Douglas Park here in Vancouver, not far from our home, and I was recounting the goodness of God across my lifetime. And once again, my heart just exploded with gratitude and joy, and it was amazing. And I thought to myself, this is what I was experiencing in Hawaii some time back. and that I don't need to go to some tropical place to experience joy. I can experience joy right here in my city, in a park, during COVID-19, if I'll simply remember the good things that God has done. And if we will take time to look back and give thanks to God, perhaps as part of a long walk or a short walk, or perhaps during a meal as we recount two or three things that God has done for us during the day that felt like gifts, or at the end of the day, writing down maybe three or four things that felt like they came from the hand of God, or if we gather on Sundays, even if it's online, to worship and to give thanks to God for what he has done, even in the most challenging of circumstances, we can choose and experience joy. We can also experience joy as Paul did, as we look ahead to what God will do in the future. A few weeks ago, our family watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Our son Joey, who's 11 years old, was seeing the films for the first time. Sakiko and I had seen the films as they came out one by one. And as you know, these films, this epic story is filled with darkness and danger. And there were times when Joey wondered if one of the main characters that he had grown attached to might die or might experience something really tragic. And so he was somewhat anxious on the edge of his seat as he was watching these movies. Sam Gamgee says, Frodo's good friend, that because so many bad things had happened to them, it was hard for him to imagine a good ending. And it was hard for Joey, I think, to imagine a good ending given all the bad things that were happening. And he was anxious. But Sakiko and I knew the ending of the story. There were parts that we had forgotten in between. And so there were times when we were like, what's going to happen now? But we knew that the story would end well. And so we could watch the films with a sense of peace and even joyful anticipation. And so it is in our lives when we are confident that God is writing the story and that our end and the end of the world will be a good ending, that it's going to be a good story, that God has the final word. Even as we're going through difficulty, we can experience hope and joy in the present. The Apostle Paul goes on and he writes this. I always pray for you with joy. Verse 4. I always pray with joy, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We experience joy as we look back and give thanks to God for what he has done. We experience joy as we look ahead in faith, believing that God will finish our story and that it will be good. But we also experience joy, as Paul describes here, as we see that God is making us more like him and his son, Jesus Christ, that we are being made new. You know, if you want to just get over feeling bad and have an instant moment of feeling better, then you might consider getting drunk or using cocaine or viewing pornography, because those will give you an instant dopamine hit. I'm not encouraging that. That will actually make you end up feeling worse. But if you want to feel joy over the long term, even in the midst of your hardship and difficulty, then invite Christ to work in you and to make you into his masterpiece. G.K. Chesterton, in his classic book, Orthodoxy, wrote these words. If seeds in the black earth can turn into such beautiful roses, what might not the heart of man or woman become in its long journey toward the stars? If seeds in the black earth can one day become roses, what might your heart become? What might my heart become in its long journey toward the stars? And as you see God working in your life, making you more like Christ, you will have reason to rejoice. And the Apostle Paul continues his prayer, and he says in verse 9, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Christians sometimes feel that the most important thing is to get doctrine right, to have the right belief, and doctrine and belief are important. But Paul doesn't pray, first of all, for the Philippians, nor for us, that we would have right doctrine, but that we would abound more and more in love, and through love that we would have true knowledge and depth of insight. The Apostle Paul knows that the path to joy is to become like Christ and to grow in love. It's by looking back and giving thanks to God that we find joy. It's by looking ahead and knowing that God holds the future that we have peace and hope. But it's in becoming like Jesus, growing in love, that we also find joy. I've been reading Anthony Ray Hinton's very moving memoir called The Sun Does Shine. It's an amazing true story about how Anthony Ray Hinton spent 30 years on death row in prison for a crime he never committed. From the time he was 29 years old to the time he was 59, some of you are in that window, 29 to 59, the prime years of his life. The record shows that Anthony Ray Hinton was actually working in a locked warehouse in Alabama. He had punched his card, so we know when he was in and when he was out, when the murder occurred 15 miles away. But when he was arrested at his mother's house by the police in the state of Alabama, the police said, "You're going to prison because you're black, and the judge is going to be white, and the jury is going to be white." Anthony Ray Hinton ended up passing a polygraph lie detector test. And the administrator of the test said, "I've been doing these lie detector tests for 27 years. I know a killer when I see one. And Anthony Ray Hinton is no killer." But simply because he was black, he was declared guilty and sent onto death row. He was understandably heartbroken and angry. And for the first 4 years, Ray, he prefers to be called Ray than Anthony, Ray didn't speak to anyone in prison. He didn't say good morning. He didn't say good night. He didn't say, "How are you?" Every time he had to communicate with a guard, he simply wrote down his message on a piece of paper and gave it to them. But then 4 years into his time on death row, he heard the prisoner in the cell beside him crying. He was weeping. And Anthony said, in that moment, it was like my mother's unconditional love, it was like God's love came through me, and I turned toward the cell and I asked the question, "Are you okay in there?" And the guy said, no, man, I'm not okay. I just learned that my mama died and I wasn't there for her." And Ray said, "I'm really sorry, man, I'm really sorry." And then he said, but look at it this way, look at it this way. Now you know that you have someone in heaven arguing your case before God." And then Ray told a joke and the man actually laughed. And Ray said, "It was like my voice and my humor had come back to me." And Ray spent the next 26 years not so much focused on his own problems, but focusing on other people's problems, seeking to serve them, seeking to love them. And he experienced real joy. Ray says that while he was on death row, he saw 54 people pass in front of his cell, walking to their execution. And Ray began a practice of banging on his prison bars, making noise, shouting out the name of the person who was going to their execution, and asking all of his fellow inmates to make some noise for Michael or Chester. They began chanting their name as a way to say, "We see you. We are with you to the end. We are your family and we love you." And Ray said, for a lot of these guys, they had never been loved by their mother or father or their families or anyone. And We wanted them to know during their last 5 minutes on the earth that they were seen and that they were known and they were loved. And Ray would go on to be a counselor to fellow prisoners and even to guards. And in something that never happens, guards were actually pleading with lawyers to get Anthony Ray Hinson out of prison because they knew he was innocent. And 30 years after stepping onto death row, the Supreme Court ruled that Anthony Ray Hinson was innocent. It was a unanimous ruling. And at age 59, Anthony Ray Hinson walked out and found his freedom. What Ray Hinton's story tells us, what the Apostle Paul's story tells us, what Kevin and Julia's story tells us, is that even in the most horrible of circumstances with Christ, we can experience joy. And during these hard days of COVID-19, with Christ, as we look back and give thanks to God for what God has done, as we look in faith toward the future, believing that God will write the final chapter and it will be good, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, to inspire us to become people of love, masterpieces who display the character of Christ, like Ray Hinton, like the Apostle Paul, like Kevin and Julia, we can know the joy of the Lord as our strength. May it be so for you and for me, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.